We read from the book of Isaiah a moment ago. He was one of the major prophets. And Isaiah was the one that prophesied the punishment that God was going to send on his people, Israel. Israel had turned away from God. They had started worshiping idols. And Isaiah was there to pronounce God's judgment that that punishment was coming. The Babylonians were going to come, and they were going to take Israel captive for 70 years and bring forth God's judgment on his people. And Isaiah was the messenger to deliver that message. And in verse 15, and Isaiah speaking for the Lord, and said, it says this: I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Now, when we think about God, we ought to think about those same four things. He should be our Lord. Now, I know there may be some people here this morning that don't know Jesus as their Savior. But if you're a Christian here this morning, God needs to be your Lord. And by the way, I'm not in any way preaching lordship salvation. We're not saved because we make him Lord. We're saved because what he did for us on Calvary. We're not saved because we make him the master of our life, although that's what he ought to be after we get saved. But these people that preach, oh no, you got to make Jesus Lord to be saved. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We'll talk some more about that later. But that's what the Bible says to do, believe on Jesus to be saved. Now, once we get saved, once we become a Christian, once we belong to God's family, we ought to be able to say, he is my Lord. I take my orders from him. I live to please him and to bring glory from him. He is the Holy One. God is holy. And that means set apart. That means different from everything else. There's nothing else holy in this world besides this book and our God and our Savior. Everything else has been tainted with sin. And so he is the Holy One. He is the Creator. And again, this is something that there ought not to be any question about. We ought not to argue about. He is the one that made us. He is our Creator. Look around. Everything you see was made by God. And I believe he did it in 7 days, just like it says in the first chapter of Genesis. So he's our Creator. He is our King. He's our King. He ought to have complete authority over everything in our life. And then in verse 17, and this is, verse 16, and this is my text verse, and I'm going to take my text and my title and the theme of my sermon from verse 16 this morning, where it says, thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea. Of course, he was talking about the Israelites when they came to the Red Sea. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning a little bit in the open assembly. A mountain on either side, the Egyptian army behind them, the sea in front of them. They were trapped. They had no way to go. They feared that they were going to be destroyed by Pharaoh's army. And the Bible says the Lord made a way in the sea. And that the wind came and blew that water apart and dried the ground, and they walked over on dry ground through the sea to safety. And I know some people say, well, it wasn't much of a miracle because the sea at that time was only a couple inches deep. Wasn't much of a miracle to spread that water apart and make the dry ground because the sea at that time was only a couple inches deep. And I always say to those people, man, it sure must have been a miracle for God to drown Pharaoh's army in that 2-inch water then. Amen. Huh? I don't care how you look at it, it was a miracle. I believe the water was deeper than that. I believe God worked a miracle when he made a way. And this morning, in a very simple message, I want to remind you, we have a God that makes a way. We have a God that still today makes a way in our lives. Let me give you some examples. Number one, you got a nasty habit that's got a hold of you. You got a habit that you've tried to get rid of over and over and over again. And you make a New Year's resolution. This is the year that I'm going to give up this habit that I know is not good for me. I'm just going to give it up. And you do good till about the 3rd of January. And then it comes back. But you're not discouraged. You say, I'm going to try again. Lord, with the Lord's help, I'm going to give up this habit. And you're good till about the 5th of January. And I won't tell you about my diet. I just preach to myself every now and then. But sometimes habits get a hold of us. Some things get in our life and they get a hold of us, and it seems like there's nothing that we can do to get rid of them. We feel like we're a slave to that habit. We feel that there's no way out. We feel like there's nothing we can do to break the chains of that habit. I want to remind you this morning that we have a God that makes a way. We have a God who, when his people felt like they were slaves in Egypt and were there for 430 years, when Pharaoh had a strong grip on them and there was no way that they could break that grip themselves, our God who makes a way sent the 10 plagues. Our God who makes a way reminded Pharaoh who was in charge. And he sent the frogs and the lice and the boils and the darkness and the sickness to the cattle and the hail from heaven and the rest of the locusts and the rest of the plagues and made a way for his people to leave Egypt. In fact, you that know the story know that they just didn't leave. They got asked to go. They got kicked out because Pharaoh didn't want them there anymore. And when they kicked out, the Lord told them, hey, go borrow stuff from the Egyptians. And they borrowed all their jewels and the riches of Egypt. And when they came out of Egypt, they came out a conquering nation because they had a God, as we do, that makes a way. And I want to just tell you this morning, if you got a habit that's got a hold of you and you feel like a slave, then you go to the God that makes a way, and he'll make a way to help you get rid of it. He will. Number two. Maybe you have another problem this morning. Maybe it's a problem in your marriage, or a problem with your children, or something that's going on in your family, or something that's going on at your work. And you've come to a point where you see no way out. You come to a point where you say, I just don't see how I can make this work. I don't see how I can make my marriage work. I've lost all hope for my kids. I've got something going on in my job. I just don't see how it's going to work. I don't see how it's going to come out. And again, I would remind you that we have a God that can make a way. Did you ever stop to think about what the Israelites felt like that night that they stood before the Red Sea? I mean, they had left Egypt in great victory. They had left with the spoil of Egypt. They left, like I said a moment ago, a conquering nation. And now it seems like the tables were turned. They were trapped. The sea was in front of them. And by the way, I don't think it was 2 inches. I think it was a deep sea. I don't think they could have waded across if they wanted to. There was no way that they could get across that sea. There was a mountain on either side of them. And Pharaoh's army, and by the way, I'll remind you, Pharaoh was mad. He was angry. His firstborn son had been killed by the death angel that passed through on the first Passover. Everybody in his army had probably lost a child in the Passover because they didn't put any blood on the doorway. And you had an Egyptian army and an Egyptian Pharaoh that was angry, that wanted revenge on the children of Israel. And they were in that spot and they said, what are we going to do? There's no way out. They said, we just don't know what we're going to do. We have a problem and we don't see an escape route. We're just going to die. We're going to fail here. We're going to be buried here in the wilderness. And there may be people in this room this morning, you say, boy, my marriage is at an end. I just don't see how we can make it work. Or I have a wayward child. I just don't see how I can rescue him. I don't see how I can get him back on the right track. And again, you put your situation into what I'm talking about. There's some people in this room this morning that say, God, I just don't see a way out of this situation you've got me in. I just don't see a way out. I want to remind you this morning that the same God that split the sea and made a dry path through that sea to lead the Israelites to safety is the same God that works in 2007. the same God. When you do not see a way, don't give up. Go to the God that maketh a way. When you want to throw in the towel and quit, don't quit. Go to the God that maketh a way and let Him work a miracle in your life. We have a God that makes a way. Number three, do you have a decision to make? Are you here this morning and there, you face a decision in your life? Maybe about an occupational decision, or maybe a decision about school. Maybe there's somebody here that's thinking about getting married and you got to make a decision about whether you're going to accept a proposal or offer a proposal. And you're wondering what to do. You're struggling with what to do. Do I go ahead and make this decision or do I make this decision? Do I go ahead and take this action or do I not take the action? And you're looking for somebody to help you. You're looking for somebody to advise you. You're looking for somebody to lead you in that decision. I want to remind you this morning, we have a God that maketh a way. We have a God who, when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness, led them with a cloud by day and a fire by night. And when the cloud moved, they moved. And when the fire moved, they moved. All they had to do was follow God. All they had to do was listen for His leadership. And He told them where to go, when to go, and what to do. And I want to remind you this morning, God hasn't changed. He's still willing to lead His people. He may not send a cloud by day and a fire by night, but He gives us this book. He gives us principles in this book that we can order our life by. And when we face decisions, we have a God that says, I will help you make that decision if you'll just listen and follow me. I like the little chorus we sing sometimes in Sunday school. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That's all we have to do. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And that's all we have to do. We make this thing of Christianity, we make it too complicated. It's simple. God made it simple. He made salvation simple. He made the Christian life simple. All we have to do is get behind Jesus and follow Him. Follow Him. Number four. You have trouble making ends meet? Got more bills than money? Got more month than money? Are you wondering where the next payment is going to come from? I will remind you that we have a God that makes a way. I will remind you that for 40 years, God fed and clothed and took care of His people in the wilderness. Yeah, I've been reading in the book of Exodus again as I started over the Bible in the month of February. And again, I don't know how it happened, but I like this. I like where the Bible says, for 40 years, they didn't have to worry, not only about what to eat, but about what to wear. Or about what their shoes, what shoes they were going to wear. It says in there, and I don't know if their shoes grew as their feet grew. I just don't know. But I know this, they didn't have to replace their shoes. They did not wear out. Now, some of you that have little kids that are growing, I can remember back when I had little kids that were growing. I wish that this was true of my kids, that their shoes grew with their feet. And I know some of you wish that that was true today, that their shoes grew with their feet. But God took care of them. I mean, there wasn't any supermarkets that they could go on a daily basis and get their food. He fed them with bread from heaven. When they wanted some meat, He sent quail. When they wanted something to drink, He went to a rock and got water out of it. We have a God that makes a way. I don't care how discouraged you are, how deep in debt you are. I want to remind you that we have a God this morning that can make a way out of whatever situation that you're in. And then number five. He makes a way to eternity. You see, every single one of us here this morning have an eternity to face. You say, well, preacher, I'm just visiting this morning. I don't have an eternity to face. Doesn't matter if you're a member, have been a member, or just as your first time here. You have an eternity to face. Every single one of us do. There's only two possibilities in that eternity. And again, I'm telling you what this book says. I'm not telling you what I think, although I think this because I believe this book. I'm telling you what this book says. There's only two possibilities for eternity. There is heaven and there is hell. Those are the only two possibilities. I'm sorry, there's no other place. There's no place that you go into before you go to heaven. There's no other place that you go into to go to hell. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you end up in torments of hell. Only two possibilities. Just two possibilities. Heaven and hell. And I told my Sunday school class this morning, or in the open assembly, I don't know why anybody wouldn't want to go to heaven. I just don't know. The Bible talks about heaven. The streets in heaven are paved with gold. There are mansions in heaven. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. The Bible tells us there's no night there. No need for the sun because the glory of God and His Son provide the light in that place. So there's no night there. There's no pain, no tears. God lives in heaven. The angels live in heaven. The saints live in heaven. Again, I don't know why anybody would not want to go to heaven. I think of that verse in the Bible. Only a fool says there is no God. I would add to that, only a fool would choose not to go to heaven. And that's exactly what people do. They choose not to go to heaven. They choose to go to hell. Now, the Bible talks about hell, too. And by the way, I believe that hell is a literal place. I believe that hell exists. It's a bottomless pit. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place of fire where the worm dieth not, where Satan and his demons live. By the way, hell was made for the devil. Hell was not made for people. It was made as a punishment for Satan, and Satan is going to spend eternity there. And I'll just tell you this morning that every single one of us, if we got what we deserved, would end up in hell. If we got what we deserved, every single one of us would end up in hell because we're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that death in that verse is not just talking about physical death, it's talking about spiritual death, to be separated from God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. God said, in the day that you eat the fruit, you shall die. And some people read the book of Genesis and they said, hey, they ate the fruit over there in chapter 3, and Adam lived to be 950 years. Didn't God keep his word? Yes, God kept his word. They died spiritually because when they disobeyed God, they were kicked out of the garden and separated from God. That's spiritual death. And by the way, that's the worst part of hell. The worst part of hell is not the fire, is not the darkness, is not the bottomless pit, it's not the worm that dieth not. It is being separated from your Creator. It is being separated from the one that made you. It is being separated from the one that wants to fellowship with every single person. That's the worst part of hell. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God. So if God's in heaven, the only other place that we can go is hell. That's the wages of sin. And there's nothing that you and I can do to change that. Nothing. I can't be good enough to change that. I can't join a church and change it. I can't take communion and change it. I can't get baptized and change it. Can't change it. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In fact, the Bible says that all the good things that we could think about to do, and if we do those, in God's sight, he says they look like filthy rags. All our righteousnesses, all our goodnesses, all the good things that we can do, in God's sight, look like the rags that the lepers use to wipe the open sores on their body and wiping all the pus and the blood and throwing it in the dust. And that filthy rag, God says, you want to know what all the good things you can do look like to me? They look like that rag. They look like that rag. There's nothing we can do. But I'm glad that we have a God that made a way. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm the way. You want to know how to get to heaven? You want to know how to get to God? You want to know how to get to that part of eternity where you can live with God forever in that place prepared for you? You say, heaven was made for me? Yes, it was. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. How's Jesus the way? Well, let me tell you how he's the way. He came to earth. He lived among us for 33 some years. He taught us about the kingdom of God. In God's time, at the time that God appointed, he was arrested. He was put through a false trial, found guilty of sins that he did not commit. And yet God let him go to that Roman cross. And when he hung up on that Roman cross, God in heaven took every one of my sins and laid them on Jesus Christ. And God in heaven took every sin of every person. Listen to me. Listen to me. It wasn't because you chose. It wasn't because you decided. It was because God decided. God has taken every one of your sins and he laid them on his son, Jesus, when he went to the cross of Calvary. And listen to me. Every one of your sins has been paid for. They've been paid for. Every sin that you've committed up to this point in your life and every sin that you're going to commit the rest of your life was paid for by Jesus Christ on Calvary. Every single one. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know that. I don't know them. Glad I don't. You're glad I don't. I'd use them for a sermon illustration. I don't know them. But God does. And every one of your sins were laid on Jesus Christ. And he died for them on Calvary. Been paid for. He made a way. Now, you got to choose it. You got to choose it. Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the way. The only way. And again, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's not joining a church. It's not becoming a Baptist. It's not getting baptized. All those are good things. But that's not the way to heaven. The way to heaven is Jesus. That's it. He's the way to heaven. You believe on him. You put your trust in him. You say, I'm a sinner. Because I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. God, I know I deserve hell. I'm a sinner. I'll admit that. But I also believe that Jesus Christ was your son. And I believe when he went to Calvary's cross, he took all of my sin and he paid for my sin. And I'm coming and I'm trusting him. I'm putting my faith in him to make me right with God and to give me a place in heaven. If you haven't done that, if you haven't done that in your life, if there's never been a time in your life that you've said something like that. Doesn't have to be the exact words. But told God that you were a sinner. Realized that you deserved hell. But that you were trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of his son to take care of your sins and to make you right with God. If you've never done that, you need to do it today. It says in the book of Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it? I don't know about your life up until this point. I don't know how you've lived your life. I'll just tell you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is the choice that you make about Jesus. And if you've never received him, I invite you to receive him today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. Thank you for sending your son to die in our place.